The calmness of the night was a stark contrast to the storm brewing within my home. As a cybersecurity major, I was proud of myself on my understanding of the digital world, a realm I believed I had mastered. But nothing in my studies had prepared me for the terror that was to unfold. It began with an innocuous enough event, a flicker of movement, barely perceptible. I dismissed it as a trick of the light or a figment of my overworked imagination.
You're seeing things, Megan. Time for a break.
But the illusion of safety was shattered the moment I heard it. The unmistakable sound of a camera shutter clicking from somewhere within the depths of my house. My heart stopped, my blood ran cold, and the chilling realization hit me. I was not alone. Frantically, I scanned my surroundings, every shadow, every corner, but found nothing. The silence that followed was oppressive, suffocating. Then, my phone buzzed. A message, anonymous, with nothing but a link, was sitting in notifications. I clicked it, and my blood turned to ice. It linked to a live stream, revealing a view of my own living room from an angle I hadn't placed a camera. And there he was, a figure cloaked in darkness, his face obscured, but his intentions clear, standing in my bedroom upstairs. "Welcome to your nightmare, Megan." His voice was a twisted melody, a harbinger of the horrors to come. I stared, frozen, as he began to move through my room with a disturbing familiarity. Each step, a declaration of his control. I grabbed onto a kitchen knife, but he had seen it on the live stream, just like I could witness my own house from the view of 18 cameras. Who was he? How did he get inside? How did he place those cameras? And what was he planning to do? When I looked back at the phone, he had disappeared from my room, which meant that he could be anywhere in my house. The game had begun. His rules, his playground. My home had become a hunting ground. He taunted me, leaving me to discover twisted tokens of his presence. A bloodied knife here, a lock of hair there. His actions were calculated, designed not just to scare, but to mentally unravel me. "You can't hide, Megan. I'm everywhere. You're playing by my rules now."
"Who are you? Why are you doing this? Leave my house right now or I will call the police."
"You have a phone in your palms, Megan. Place the call. But remember, if you close your phone or switch to any other app, your phone will explode in your hand." His words echoed in my mind, a psychological warfare meant to break me. But amidst the terror, a spark of defiance ignited within me. I couldn't outmuscle him, but maybe, just maybe, I could outsmart him. I remembered my studies, my projects on cybersecurity and hacking. If I could get to my equipment, if I could just access the network.
"What do you want from me?"
I cried, or at least fake cried. I had to appear as weak as possible to him, to come up with my contingency plan. I made my way to the basement while weeping. It housed my makeshift lab, filled with servers and monitors, and was a fortress of technology, and within its walls, I found my courage. If I could get to the server room, I could make contact with authorities outside. As I finally entered the server room, locking the door behind me, I faced the screens, my fingers poised above the keyboard. This was it, the battlefield I knew, where I held the advantage. I went to work straight away. I began to weave my counterattack, a silent plea for help embedded within the code. The night was far from over, but for the first time since the nightmare began, I dared to hope. The stage was set, the players positioned. The game, however, was about to change. As I sat in the dimly lit server room, my hands moved with a purpose, driven by fear and an unwavering resolve to end this nightmare. The psycho believed he was the puppeteer, but in the digital world, I was in my element. My plan was simple, yet risky. Hack into the cameras he'd so confidently installed and send out a distress signal. The task, it was daunting. My fingers danced across the keyboard, commands flowing with an urgency fueled by adrenaline. I tapped into the live stream, injecting a hidden message into the metadata, a digital SOS aimed at anyone savvy enough to notice. Time was a luxury I didn't have. With each passing moment, his patience would wear thin and he'd come looking for me. I had to act fast. Then, I heard it, the sound of footsteps approaching, slow and deliberate. He was near. "You can't hide in there forever, Megan. Come out and play." His taunts echoed through the door, each word a twisted invitation to a dance of death. But I focused on my screen, my heart pounding in my chest as I worked to reroute the signal, to make my invisible cry for help visible to the outside world. And then, success. The message was out, a beacon cutting through the digital noise. But there was no time to celebrate, no time to wait for rescue. I had to survive until help arrived. I prepared myself for his inevitable entry, setting up a makeshift barricade. The room was secure, but I knew it wouldn't hold him for long. I needed a weapon, something to defend myself with. My eyes scanned the room, landing on a smoldering iron. It was no gun, but it would have to do.
"This ends tonight."
The door began to shake, his attempts to break through growing more violent. I stood ready, the hot iron in hand, my entire body tensed for the confrontation. Suddenly, the door gave way and he stormed in, his figure a mass of rage and frustration. But the element of surprise was mine. As he advanced, I swung with all my might, the smoldering iron connecting with his flesh, eliciting a howl of pain.
"You little bitch!"
But I didn't stop to hear his curses. I pushed past him, running out into the night, screaming for help. Behind me, the psycho was in pursuit, his own screams a mixture of rage and agony. The chase was short-lived. Lights flashed in the distance, sirens cutting through the silence of the night. The police, guided by my digital SOS, finally arrived. As they took him down, I collapsed, the adrenaline fading, leaving me shaking and exhausted. The officers rushed to my side, their voices a comforting blur as I tried to process the reality that I was safe, that it was over.
"You're safe. If you don't mind, can I ask you a few questions?"
As I recounted the night's events, the realization of what I'd survived, what I'd accomplished, began to sink in. I'd faced my deepest fears, fought back against the darkness, and emerged victorious. Not just as a survivor, but as a warrior of the digital age. The psycho was taken away. His reign of terror ended by a combination of my will to survive and the very technology he'd used to terrorize me. As the dawn broke, casting light on the chaos of the night, I knew I'd never be the same. I'd been tested, pushed to my limits, and in the crucible of fear, I had found a strength I never knew I possessed. The night of terror was over, but the memory of it, of the power within me, would stay forever. In the digital shadows, I had found my light, my resolve, and my defiance. The night had settled in over my small apartment. I was alone, freshly broken up with my girlfriend of a year, and feeling this emptiness and calm that gathers after a messy, turbulent, toxic, and abusive relationship. I should have been happy. Just last week, she threw a scissor at my face when I said that I wanted to break up. But I just wanted to forget all about her and dig my head in my uni books. I thought that the breakup was behind me. Boy, was I wrong. Just a few more pages, and I'm done for the night. The sound was almost imperceptible at first, a faint shuffle, like leaves brushing against the window. I shook my head, attributing it to the wind, and then the real nightmare began.
"Miss me, Brian?"
I spun around, my heart hammering. Jenna stood in the doorway, a twisted smile on her face, her eyes gleaming with an unsettling fervor.
"Jenna? How did you get in here?"
"Oh, you underestimate me, baby. I've always had a spare key, remember?"
Her casual admission sent shivers down my spine. She began to advance, each step measured, deliberate. "What do you want, Jenna?"
"What do I want? I want us to have a little heart-to-heart, about respect, about loyalty.
Her tone darkened with each word, a harbinger of the horror that was to unfold. She produced a familiar small bottle from her pocket.
Thirsty?
That's my bottle.
I took it this morning when you were in class.
Then what was I drinking from? Before I could react, the room started to spin, my limbs turning traitorous in their heaviness. What did you...
It's just a little something to help you relax. We wouldn't want you running off now, would we?
The world faded to black. Jenna's twisted smile, the last thing I saw. When I came to senses again, the situation had grown dire. I was bound to a chair, Jenna pacing before me, a symphony of madness playing in her eyes.
You see, Brian, I've been thinking a lot about us. About what you did to me. And I realized something. You never really saw me, did you?
Her voice was eerily calm, the eye of a storm. She picked up a cigarette and carefully lit it while staring into my eyes. Jenna, please, let's talk about this. I can help you.
Help me? You're in no position to help anyone, least of all yourself.
She laughed maniacally before approaching me. Tracing a finger along my jawline, her touch cold and calculating.
No, Brian. Tonight, you're gonna listen. Really listen. To every word I say. To every scream you'll suppress.
The terror of her implications dawned on me, a cold vice around my heart.
First, a little game. For every lie you told me, a mark. A token of the death of our love.
She revealed a small blade, the light glinting off its edge with sinister promise. My attempts to reason with her, to plead, fell on deaf ears. She pulled out a small knife. Jenna had descended into a realm of vengeance from which there was no return. Jenna, think about what you're doing. This isn't you.
Oh, but it is, Brian. It's the me you never bothered to understand. The me that's been waiting for this moment.
Her actions became a blur. The pain, a stark, unyielding reality. She started with my toes, plucking the knife under the fingernails and shoving them deeper. I felt a pain which I wouldn't wish upon my worst enemy. She leaned in for a kiss before stuffing her scarf into my mouth to shroud my yells. Once she was done with two fingernails on my right leg, she moved to my knees, and then the thighs. Each cut was precise, a testament to her twisted sense of justice. My mind raced, desperation clawing its way through the fog of fear.
Jenna, you don't want to do this. Remember the good times? We had so many.
Oh, look at my poor baby. You look so cute when you're crying.
She picked out her cigarette and put it out against my neck as I screamed in pain again.
Jenna, I'm sorry. I truly am, but this isn't the way. We can fix this together.
The room held its breath, the night a silent witness to our tragic tableau. Jenna's eyes, once alight with fury, now shimmered with unshed tears, a glimmer of the woman I once knew. Something inside her was getting hurt to see me like this as well. But the reprieve was fleeting, her inner demons wrestling back control. She picked out her lighter and set my beard on fire, laughing maniacally as I slowly saw the flame approaching towards my lips. By the time it started burning badly, she slapped it a bunch of times to make it stop. Boy, did I repent putting on a beard oil just an hour back. Jenna wasn't just out for revenge. She was out to obliterate the very essence of our shared past, to rewrite our history in blood and tears.
You think sweet words can save you now? It's far too late for that, Brian.
Her resolve hardened, each word a nail in the coffin of my hopes.
Jenna, please, you don't have to do this. Think about what's at stake.
What's at stake? Only everything, Brian. Don't you see? You took everything from me. My heart, my dignity. Now, it's your turn.
She paused, her gaze lingering on the instruments of my torment. In her eyes, a storm raged, a battle between the remnants of the person she once was and the monster she had become.
Jenna, listen to me. This isn't you. This isn't the person I fell in love with. You're better than this.
A flicker of doubt crossed her face, a crack in her facade. I pressed on, my voice a lifeline thrown into the turbulent sea of her psyche.
Remember our first date? The way you laughed at my stupid jokes? The way you looked under the moonlight? That's the Jenna I know. That's the Jenna I believe is still there.
She hesitated, the knife in her hand trembling.
I don't know what's real anymore.
Her confession was a window, an opening I desperately needed. My heart raced, not just with fear now, but with a glimmer of hope.
It's not too late, Jenna. You don't have to be defined by this night. Let me help you. We can get through this together.
Her resolve wavered, the knife clattering to the floor as her hands found her face, muffling her sobs.
It has to be done, Brian. You can never be anyone else's. I love you. I can't let you go. So I will kill you first, then kill myself. This way, we'll be together forever.
It was then, in her moment of weakness, that I found the strength to act. Using the chair, I managed to knock it over, the impact jarring enough to loosen the ropes that bound me. My hands, numb and clumsy, worked at the knots. As I finally freed myself, Jenna's sobs filled the room as she stood paralyzed, crying. I picked the knife and threw it out before picking her up and pinning her against the wall.
Jenna, look at me. We're going to get through this. You need help, and I'm going to be there for you. But first, we need to end this nightmare.
My words seemed to reach her, a lifeline amidst the storm. I called 911 while she sat holding her head, and they promised that she'll get a therapist. I received treatment at the hospital later, and it was then that the emotions truly gripped me. I cried that night. I cried a lot.